Welcome, Anthony. Thank you for being with us today and telling us your story.
Thanks for having me, Kathleen. Okay, hi, greater audience. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Anthony Rogers. I am 30 years old. I've been involved with the Heart Center for 13 years now, which is a long time. And I guess this is my spiritual journey from day one. So Kathleen has pictures here. I was born in Prince William County, Virginia. I actually don't know what hospital that I was, or what town I was born in, because on my birth certificate it just says Prince William County, Virginia. But I was born out there in the east, and then at the time I have a younger full brother, which his name is Raphael, and then I have pictured in the first picture, I have some half-siblings, who I just call my other brothers and sisters, Chris, Juliana, and Stephanie. So I was actually born kind of in a father of the bride part two situation where my mom and my sister were pregnant at the same time. So I actually have a nephew that's only, I don't know, maybe like a few months younger than me. So that's pretty interesting. But I was born into that family, but we didn't spend a lot of time with the immediate family. We moved around for about 5 years. We lived, I think, in Montana, I don't actually know all the states, but we moved all over before we finally settled in Michigan. We moved to this little town called Yale, Michigan, when I was, I think, 5 or late 4. And that's kind of where I grew up until I was 18. Growing up in Michigan was interesting. So my entire extended family is Catholic. I have 8 aunts and uncles on my dad's side. And my parents, of course, were in the Summit Lighthouse, which, for those of you who don't know, was the Ascended Master spiritual organization that preceded the Heart Center. And I think a number of people in the Heart Center kind of descended from the lineage of the Summit Lighthouse. So I grew up in this very familial community of going to visit my grandparents in Detroit, and all of our cousins would be there with all our aunts and uncles, and we would have big Christmas and Thanksgiving dinners. And then occasionally we have this cottage up in Oscoda, which is the northern part of Michigan. And we would have big family gatherings, and it was a lot of fun. But at the same time, I think growing up in the Ascended Master teachings for me was, it was interesting because it was kind of like, well, my brother and I, we always felt like we were part of a secret service or something, because it was just so different than everybody around us. And, you know, I don't know if our parents told us that we shouldn't talk about it, or if we just kind of were thinking like, well, everybody is pretty different from us, so we don't. I remember telling my friend in high school that it was a really big deal for me at the time, but I remember I was like 15. I said to him, I said, you know what? I believe in reincarnation. And he was very Christian. And he was like, you do? And I that was a big thing to get off my chest. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, so you believe you're going to come back as a dog or something? So it was a very different experience growing up in that. And I think it could have been negative. You know, I met a lot of people who were involved in that organization who didn't take positives. But for us, it really was a positive experience. Mostly, I think, because we came from a loving family. My mom and dad were very loving. And the other stuff didn't matter, that we were a little different or we were a little odd. But it was kind of enjoyable, actually. So I don't know if she showed you the picture, but there's this picture of I'm dressed up as a knight, and my brother's dressed up as a wizard. That's us during Halloween in front of our house in Michigan. So we lived in that house for 13 years. And I went to school at Yale High School, and there's a picture of me graduating. I eventually graduated Yale High School. I did well. When you're growing up, you're not super concerned with the Ascended Masters and stuff. That was just like, for me, that was just church. I would go to church, and that was, I had to do that some of the time, but most of my identity and goals and desires were wrapped up in school. I wanted to get good grades. I thought it was important. And also, my brother and I, we both thought, like, I remember thinking this very clearly, the ascension for us back at that time was just, we just thought, well, it's just something you have to do. You have to follow a set of steps, and then that happens. So we were like, well, we'll go to college, and we'll get good grades, and we'll go to college, and we'll say our prayers, and we'll do this or do that, and we'll do A and B and C and D, and then we'll ascend. So that's just another item on the list that we have to do. It wasn't really a living thing. Now, until when I was 16 going on 17, because it was in December, that's my birthday, my mom and dad decided to send my brother and I as a Christmas present to the Summit Lighthouse teen retreat in Texas. And we went there. I loved it. Everybody there was, I felt like so many of them I knew from, I just recognized them immediately. And the environment was wonderful. I loved the prayers. I just gelled. I felt like I fit right in. So that was really exciting. And during that time, during that conference, they had us write a karmic board letter. So I asked for some things in the karmic board letter, and I was very diligent about fulfilling the requests in the things that I said I would do in the karmic board letter. And that shortly thereafter, my parents found the Heart Center. And I don't know, I think part of that was the masters helping through those karmic board letter, which I thought was pretty cool. Not all of it, of course, but I just thought that was a neat, maybe indirect impact of that. So they found the Heart Center, and I remember they were having hush discussions in the kitchen. They were like, I remember my mom and dad, my mom's like, I think this is the real deal. And my dad was like, yeah, well, should be, let's check it out, see what we think. So eventually we had a family meeting, and my parents explained that they said they had these dictations from this person, David Lewis, and they thought was the real deal, and we were gonna, present it to people in the Detroit Teaching Center, and so they did. So what happened was they presented it to people, and the entire Detroit Community Center thought it was legitimate. And so the whole, well, except for maybe one or two people, so the whole community flipped over to, being a Heart Center community in Detroit. And so what happened was David came out to visit. I'll speed up a little bit because I already talked for 10 minutes, but David came out to visit. And he had a conference there. And I remember us, before David came out to visit, we would sit in, we would sit in the teaching center or in one of my friends' basements, and we'd listen to the dictations through David. And I remember, because I had listened to Mother's, Elizabeth Clare Prophet's dictations growing up. So I remember listening to them. And at the time, I was like thinking, I was like, is this any different? Like, I was trying to figure out, like, is this different? But I couldn't tell. I just, I was just thinking. I wasn't really feeling it. So I was just like, So he came and visit, and the conference was incredible. Archangel Michael was my first live dictation, and there's more details from that conference, but I'll kind of speed through it. I remember one morning David wrote, the Masters wrote, "I am the Son." I think it was like the second day of the conference. And I remember giving that decree, because it was in Detroit, which is the solar plexus, so I am the Son. And I remember giving that decree, and this was very new to me too, because we had grown up doing the Son of Lighthouse decrees. So my mom and I were discussing, we're like, gosh, that decree is just the creme de la creme of decrees, because it was so easy to say, and it just had a lot of oomph to it. This was during high school, and as I got more involved in this, my life started to change. I kind of disconnected a little bit with my high school friends. We just started going our separate ways. I was still focused on getting good grades. I graduated high school, and then I applied to Michigan State College, and I got in. Now, actually, before I graduated high school, the first spiritual experience I had was shortly after this Heart Center conference in 2005, Techni Towers in Chicago. There was a dictation where Manjushri was dictating, and he tapped me on the head with a sword. And then David, before every dictation, would talk about stilling your mind. He'd be like, "Still your mind." So that, I remember I would be in my AP calculus class that morning, and it was kind of funny, but all I could think about was like, how do you still your mind? And I was like, is that even possible? I remember thinking about that for every day, like, oh, that's such an interesting concept. So the first spiritual experience I had was, I was in the library at school after that conference, and I just suddenly perceived that I could do something in my consciousness where it was as if someone had sort of removed a layer or removed cobwebs or something. But I remember I felt like I could see light shining through the window in my consciousness. And I was like, oh, wow. And so then after that happened, I was like, well, this is really cool. I better keep going to these conferences. So fast forward, we moved to Stell, Illinois. I got into Michigan State. My first year was, my brother was my roommate. And so Michigan State was fine, but I was more into conferences, to be perfectly honest with you. So we went to a lot of conferences. I went to a bunch of New Year's conferences. I went to the 2006 summer conference, which is in Grand Targhees, which was with my friends. It was beautiful. It was one of the funnest conferences I've ever been to. We moved to Stell, Illinois, and we were there with some spiritual heart friends, and we had a little spiritual prayer community. And then in 2007, I went to Egypt, which was also amazing. During that time, I'm running out of time here, so I'll be quick. During that time I was in college, that's when I started to have a lot of troubles. My parents had some difficulty, and my dad ended up moving to Montana, and my mom and my brother and stuff were still in Illinois. I had some troubles with my then girlfriend, and that ended up not working out. And a bunch of my friends also spiritual friends also ended up kind of going their separate ways. So college was kind of a time of troubles. I really just sort of eked my way through it. And I got very good grades in high school. And then in college, I did not get good grades at all. And it really bothered me because I was like, but I was just also just trying to function. So anyways, I made it through college by God's grace. I graduated in 2011, and it was just my mom, my brother, and I in Illinois. And so we had to do something different. My mom didn't have much money. I didn't have a job because I just graduated college. And Raphael obviously couldn't support both of us. So Raphael had the chutzpah or the Viria to get us to Texas, where we had the support of my sister Stephanie and my brother Chris and their families. We moved to Texas, got my first job at Apple, and by the grace of God and a lot of help from my brother Chris, and then Raphael jetted out to LA to start his budding Hollywood career. And basically, long story short, I just kept working in Texas. It's kind of an odd situation because we didn't really have a spiritual community out there, so I just made friends within my work. And then we had Barbara and Gabbard in Dallas, but we didn't go there too often, so I was just hanging out with friends and family friends. And I got through that period of my life, and then we decided it was time to go to Los Angeles, and we moved out there 2 years ago. From then on, we've been here. It's been lovely. We have attended a lot of conferences in San Diego and in Mount Shasta. I met my lovely girlfriend here, Sasha, which Kathleen has a picture of her. And that's basically it. You've caught up to present day. So hard to condense your whole life into 15 minutes, but that's the gist of it. I just recently went to Ireland, so I have a ton of pictures from there, and that was magical, but I don't know if I have enough time to get into that. So that's the story.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Anthony. That's a great story. And it was interesting to me that you said when you were young, you thought the ascension was just something that everybody had to do. And so if you could just give me one quick answer as to, so has it changed for you now?
Yeah, so one of the things was with that still your mind concept, it was a very interesting concept for me. And I never... Once you engage in the practice, things become alive. It becomes real and not something that is just words on a page. And so I remember looking at pictures of chakras and feeling like, whoa, it's real. I'm looking at a picture of something that's real. And the most signature defining thing, well, two things. One, I read The Power of Now, and that really opened my eyes to a lot of what Stilling Your Mind was about, and that really changed my ethos. But more than The Power of Now, which is, I don't know, that's like my Bible, but more than that, for me, the process of the teachings of the religion and of spirituality has been kind of a twofold action. One of mystery, because I always thought it was just something incredible, so incredible, diverse, unique, different from anything the world is offering. And so it's mystery and revelation, that's one. And then two, most important, is from engaging in the practice, you enter into a divine relationship. And once you feel that relationship open, where you have this divine partner in God, and particularly in God and in the Ascended Masters, it becomes just like in a normal relationship, something where you would do anything to please that person, anything to connect with that person. You want to live in that person's presence. You love them, and it's your whole life. And so, by God's grace, you know, the Ascended Masters, they love us so much, and by doing the spiritual work, going to the conferences, and just allowing myself to open up, I have been able to have devotion towards these masters like El Morya, like Jesus, like Saint Germain, Kuthumi and Joao Kool, and Mother Mary, and others who have, I mean, they've been with us for thousands and thousands of years, and I just know El Moria, for example, he's done so much for me. So it's just like, I've known him a lot. I've known them, many of them, a lot of times. So it's like, you just decide that you want to be there for these beings, and by definition, you want to serve God. So then it's not so much about checking up a list, but rather, you know, just fulfilling the mandates of your divine relationship.
Thank you, Anthony. What a beautiful answer. And we're so grateful that you joined us today, and look forward to seeing you in person at other conferences.
Well, thank you, Kathleen. Love you guys.
Thank you. Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yay.